League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. Hour number two, The Boss and the Gloss. And we get a chance to talk a little college football.
What a weekend.
It was an amazing weekend.
Ooh, I love it.
And nowhere more exciting than Kyle Field. The A&M victory over LSU, 74 points for A&M. I mean, if you told me that was going to be possible.
74-72.
Yeah, you needed a few overtimes to make that happen. 74-72. And the difference, of course, the two-point conversion catch by Rodgers.
But Rodgers was the difference in every overtime.
Overtime, he just took over the game. It was amazing. He was a force.
You could find him anywhere on the field. He was a man among boys.
Yeah.
He was a force to be reckoned with. But you know what was so funny? I was doing my Boss and Gloss homework.
Yes.
So I had my iPad out, and I was like, okay.
Late into the night.
Fourth overtime, LSU over A&M. Oh, no. Fifth overtime, A&M over LSU. I had to keep changing my notes. Yeah. Who would have thought we were going into seven overtimes?
Well, at the end of regulation, you might have said, LSU wins. Oh, no. But
okay, you're right. Peel it back to there.
Right.
That was really, I mean, Ogeron was doused with the Gatorade bath. Then it was called back because it looked like the knee was down on Kellen Mond before the ball came out. So they.
And you think it was down, don't you? You think it wasn't?
I'm not going to go there.
I mean, it's an amazing thing because really LSU had won the game. I think from an emotional standpoint,
sure.
If you're in a game and you think you've won and you take that big sigh of relief and your whole body relaxes in the joy of victory of an incredible game. And then all of a sudden they blow the whistle and they say, no, you need to come back out. You need to put your game face back on and you're going to have to battle what amounted to a whole other quarter's worth of football. That's pretty challenging.
I think there was some home cooking going on
yeah.
there because that's a really tough call to end a game on.
Yep.
And, or, you think you've ended the game. You think you preserved the game.
Ending, right.
But then what I thought was even more of a dagger to the heart, salt in the wounds,
yep.
was putting 1 second back on the clock for A&M when the game was seemingly over.
Yeah.
And they make that crazy catch.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That was insane. That game wore me out. I was exhausted. I felt like I played it.
Yep.
Whew.
Fantastic.
So I think they did everything. They set up everything for A&M to win.
All right, we come back. We'll dive more deeply into college football. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Oh,
guys, the holidays are quickly approaching. Don't wait until the last minute to get a gift. Head over to giftingmap.com today. Giftingmap.com. This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, when we went to break, if you just heard the Gloss yell out, oh my goodness, it's because she had a big panel in front of her, and she's pretty excited about what just took place in Houston. A really interesting 1-2 punch. Tennessee was going in for a score and had a fourth and short. Went for it on the Texans' 3-yard line, and the Texans' defense stuffed the Titans, took over the ball, handed it to, Lamar Miller, who raced 97 yards for a score. Let's hear the sound.
So now Lamar Miller able to get out of the hole. Miller, could he? Vaccaro's chasing. Lamar Miller all the way. What?
Amazing. And that's what led to a shout out from the Gloss.
I could not contain my emotions. This is too exciting.
Apparently, your screen went out over the airwaves. We just got a text in.
Sorry, Jose.
It's okay.
I have a little demerit now.
Yeah, a little loss of control there.
I can sit out a segment if you all need me to. But I can't help myself. This is exciting.
She's going to be the human limbo this section. She's the next Adam Thielen. Well, fantastic turn of events for the Texans. They now lead 21-10 over the Titans here in the second quarter.
21 unanswered points, let's say. They started out, you know, 10-0 Tennessee lead.
Yep.
It's nice. Do it for Bob McNair, boys.
Yeah, well, the emotions in Houston, there was a moment of silence for Bob McNair, the owner of the Texans who has passed away. And, you know, it's sort of interesting. I was just talking earlier in the hour about how he brought football back to Houston and that was so meaningful for the city. But he did so much more for the city beyond football. He's been one of the great philanthropists in the city, was instrumental in the recovery after Harvey. He is a highly revered figure in this town.
He will be missed.
All right, back to college football. We digress with that quick look at Monday Night Football. But in college, LSU A&M, outstanding game. Notre Dame USC, a game of great import. Not particularly exciting or well played, but I mean, USC, there was a moment there when
there were a lot of moments.
I mean, I thought maybe Notre Dame would finally take a fall.
You know, honestly, USC, if you take away their self-inflicted wounds, which is the penalties and the turnovers, they beat Notre Dame. And that 12-0 record is 11-1.
Yep.
But this is a young team that lacks some discipline. And remember, it was not that long ago that they're still, you know, they're still trying to make good after the suspensions, after the Steve Sarkisian disaster, all of the losing Sam Darnold. There's a lot to make up for. And you look at JT Daniel, their young quarterback, who had 16 completions in the first quarter, most ever for an FBS quarterback. He should still be in high school. He left a year early. So they've got a bright future. They're just not there. But boy, did they come to play.
And nearly pulled it off. I mean, I tell you what, watching that game and looking at Notre Dame over the course of the year, I just don't feel like that is one of the top four teams in college football.
Notre Dame.
I know they've got the undefeated record. I know they're ranked number three. They're going to make it. They're going to be in there. They don't have to play a championship or a conference championship game like some of the others. So Notre Dame finds its way in. But really, how different will an Alabama or a Clemson be from Notre Dame in the CFP? I mean, I think it's one of those things where it's going to be a 2-3 touchdown differential.
Well, you look back at 2000, I think it was 2012 when Notre Dame and Alabama played for the national championship, and it was embarrassing. While I think that Notre Dame does well in their playing who they play and in their, you know, own little world over there, they really can't, in my mind, hang with the Alabamas, the Clemsons, and possibly the Ohio States and Oklahomas of the world. They just can't.
Right. Well, right now the AP rankings have come out. We'll wait for tomorrow for the official rankings. But right now it's Alabama. AP has Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Georgia, Oklahoma, and Ohio State. Ohio State leaping up to the number six spot after their devastating win over Michigan.
What, did you see that?
It was an amazing game. Really, I thought Michigan was going to be able to handle Ohio State this time, that Harbaugh would finally get the win.
Michigan is the number one rated defense in the country.
Yep.
So you tell me how a Buckeye team that not only has had a soft defense the entire season. I mean, you know, I love me some Dwayne Haskins.
Yes.
And he's the whole reason that they only lost to Purdue. I mean, they could have lost many times this season, but he is such a star. He is such a star.
I will remind all of our listeners that the Gloss early on picked Dwayne Haskins as her pick for the Heisman. And he really, well, if it's not Tua, it's got to be Haskins.
Well, and it's going to be Tua because the Heisman Trust, they love Alabama no matter what. But you look at Dwayne Haskins' numbers. I just want anybody to look side by side at the numbers between Dwayne Haskins and Tua.
Yep.
And they're kind of there.
Well, and Haskins has had to do far more for his team than Tua's ever been asked to do for Alabama.
Tua doesn't even play most of the fourth quarters. And he's had injury history.
Right.
And he doesn't need to play.
Sure.
I'm not fussing at Alabama for that. But if you look at time on the field and that kind of thing, you know, and what's around them. Wow, what a difference maker Dwayne Haskins is. And Tua has taken Alabama. That's why they're so freakishly at an untouchable level, because when they were the NFL defense team with a game manager at the quarterback position, they were still winning championship after championship. And now you take that same NFL defense and you add a dual threat quarterback who is steely nerved, young, and so incredible. And they really are untouchable. They're sure. Scary. They're scary. But let's take a look back at Michigan again, though. Seriously? So, number one defense in college football, and Ohio State was able to hang 62. Did you hear that? 62.
Never saw that coming. That's an amazing feat by Ohio State. Urban Meyer, you got to give him some credit.
I give him the credit.
He's done it again.
He has done it again. And, you know, you look at Harbaugh in his 4 years, he is 0-4 against Ohio State. Michigan is 1-14 in the last 15 years against their rival. So what do you do? Okay, I want to ask you, David. You are now the AD at Michigan. You have just given Harbaugh added to his contract. You've upped his dollars to $7 million a year because you want him to be in the elite with the Urban Meyers and Dabo Sweeney's and Nick Saban's of the world. What are you thinking now? Do you want a guy who cannot win your rivalry games? Because they're 10-2. I mean, that's impressive.
Right. No, I think you got to ride the Harbaugh horse. Look, on the field, if you look over the last few years, Ohio State has had more total athletes, more guys drafted into the NFL than Michigan. They've had better talent on the field. I'm going to give Harbaugh some time. I think that, he's got a good recruiting class thus far, it looks like, coming in for next year. If not Harbaugh, I don't know who gets Michigan over that hump. He deserves a lot of time, a lot of credit. Michigan's had a very good season. They're now ranked 8 overall in the AP poll. I think you got to keep riding that horse.
Here's what I would ask you, though, because I hear you there, and it's tough. You can't say, gosh, you know, he's had all these winning seasons, but he just keeps losing to this one team.
Sure.
I would say there is an issue with recruiting, because they're in the same recruiting territory there.
Yep.
And Ohio State sends a huge number to the NFL. Michigan does send some.
Yep.
But not a huge number, and they don't seem to have the success. I mean, they don't. Ezekiel Elliott is from Ohio State. Taco Charlton, I'm talking about your boys, is from Michigan. You know, it's a little.
I'd rather have a Bosa defensive end than I would Carl.
Well, there we go. Taco, I mean, you've got the Bosa brothers going on. You know, and here's what's something that's kind of interesting, too, to me. It's like you look at, so the Michigan defense, number one in the country, by a margin of nearly 20 yards a game over a Clemson defense. Mm. You know what Clemson's defense looks like. It's incredible.
Yep.
And then you go ahead and give up 62 points to Ohio State. Here's what Michigan, to me, has done. So they had the first week one loss to Notre Dame, which, everyone was a little bit worried. That's how we're starting out our season. We now see a 12-0 Notre Dame. Wow, okay, well, that loss was justified. But was it? Because what has Michigan done in the meantime? They have taken care of Rutgers, Indiana, Penn State, who's not as scary. You know, you look at the rest of the Big Ten, other than Ohio State, and I don't know, is their resume that impression? I mean, that impressive? Have we overrated Michigan? Has the committee overrated Michigan?
Well, at this point, you might conclude yes. Michigan really out of the CFP with the two losses. Let me go back to the rankings now, because we're at a really interesting point. It's all going to unfold very quickly now.
Because this weekend separated contenders from pretenders, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yes, they did. And Alabama's at 1. Georgia's at 4. They're going to play in the SEC championship game.
That's a bummer.
One of them will fall. Presumably Georgia will lose. And then maybe Georgia falls out altogether of the top 4.
But do you think if it's a close game, let's say field goal or less, or a tight game, is it a possibility that both Georgia and Alabama get in?
I actually think if it's a close game, both of them will get in. I really do. But assuming Georgia gets knocked out, then the question is, are you going to give Oklahoma the chance to fill in there? They're number 5 in the AP ranking, or Ohio State 6? You'd have we're assuming that both Ohio State and Oklahoma win under this scenario. You'd have a one-loss Big 12 champion or one-loss Big 10 champion. And that's
you're going
a really
for the
hard
Big
choice.
Ten champ. Do you think?
Well, the problem with Oklahoma, of course, is their defense is not CFP worthy. I mean, they're just not a top 4 team in that regard. They've been carried by Kyler Murray. Ohio State, I mean, they've had a lot of close misses, the big loss to Purdue. The interesting thing, Oklahoma's argument will be if they win out over Texas in the Big 12 championship, Oklahoma will say, we have beaten every team we played this year. Our one loss was Texas, and we avenged it in the biggest game.
That's exactly what I was going to bring up, is they have the beauty of getting some revenge and having a repeat performance and showing them what they can do.
Yep. All right, when we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with Lance Zierlein of NFL and ESPN 97.5 in Houston. And we're going to ask Lance about the Texans and what it was like with the legacy of Bob McNair in Houston and the Texans' fast start here against the Titans.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
All right, joining us now on SB Nation Radio is the magnificent Lance Zierlein. He writes for NFL.com. He's also a show host on ESPN 97.5. Lance, welcome in with David and Carla.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Better now that you're here, Lance.
Well, I saw you about an hour ago. I've had some chicken tacos and watched some an offensive fireworks display.
Of course, tell us about that.
And, yeah, it's what is it about Monday Night Football? We saw it last week, and now we're seeing it again this week.
What's impressed you by the Texans' offense? I mean, the Lamar Miller run was extraordinary, but Deshaun's throwing well. But we can't see everything you're seeing now.
Yeah, I think, you know, Bill O'Brien has got into a little bit of a rhythm as a play caller. The offensive line, they're blowing some holes open for the rushing attack. So, and then they had a huge fourth down stop, which really – altered the momentum of the game because they came right back after that with a 97-yard touchdown run. So now we're in the midst of, you know, the end of the first half here, and we'll see how the Texans how they end up doing. But this really that fourth down stop ended up being a major turning point in this game.
And it really just shows how complementary football can make things happen.
Yeah, it really does. You can't be too. You really can't. I guess you can, in this day and age, you can be a little bit one-dimensional like Tom Brady and the Patriots. But, I hesitate to use the Patriots and Brady as this catch-all for football and for what you want to do because that's Tom Brady. I mean, if you look at, you know, the most explosive offenses in the league right now, the Saints and the Rams and the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, they play complementary football. They have running games. They have dynamic running backs, and I think that's a great point, is that you can't people talk about being a passing league, and it is a passing league, but these really good teams can run the football too.
We wanted to jump on some college football with you quickly. We got conference championship games coming up. How do you see it shaking out? Who are your final four for the CFP?
Well, I think Clemson's going to coast past Pitt. Yep. So I think they're going to be in there. Notre Dame is going to be in now. So finally, the college football loves for Notre Dame to be a factor. And last time they were, Alabama smashed them. But yeah, the same thing could end up happening now. We could see something similar happen. But I think that Alabama will beat Georgia. Georgia can give them a game. And if Georgia were to upset them and win, well, you know, it would be interesting. I don't think you can move Bama out of the top four, and I know everyone will want to do that, but I think Bama would deserve to be inside the top four. But I see Alabama winning, and that will lock them in. And then the fourth spot, you know, to me, if the Texans get beat, if Oklahoma beats Texas, then I think they have to be in. And I know that the argument will be, well, look at their defense, and they can't stop Kansas, they can't stop West Virginia, they couldn't stop Texas, they couldn't stop Texas Tech, this isn't a well-rounded team, look what Ohio State did against, you know, Michigan. But the fact is, Oklahoma just keeps on winning, and they really have been quite good offensively. And they've got the guy who will finish second in the Heisman Trophy race in Kyler Murray. So if Oklahoma wins, which is not a given, I like Oklahoma to move on to be that fourth team. If they lose, then it's going to be real. If Georgia loses, and and Texas were to upset Oklahoma, boy, it gets really, really interesting for that four spot then.
Yeah, then Ohio State sure has an argument.
I think so. Yeah,
right. That'll be really interesting. You know, you mentioned Kyler Murray, and today he affirmed that he's going to go play baseball. But if he were to pursue an NFL career, does he project as an NFL quarterback at a high level?
You know, I hear people trying to make guesses on that. And I understand that Baker Mayfield was the first pick, and he's not a big quarterback. He's right at about 6 foot. Kyler Murray's going to fall well below the 6 foot mark.
Yeah.
So he's going to fall well below the mark. I think when you look at, you know, he does have a pretty lively arm, but he doesn't have a big body of work. He'll have basically the single year as a body of work against, frankly, some pretty poor defenses in this conference. And when you look at when you look at Baker Mayfield, Baker Mayfield had three big years of production. He did it against some quality opponents in the postseason, really had a nice game against Georgia, who gave Alabama all they wanted last year. So I think what we're seeing is Kyler Murray is a fun, elusive quarterback with a lively arm, but I'm just not sure that he's going to be a guy that rings the bell as a first-round pick. And then with his love of baseball and frankly, his ability as a baseball player, I think that makes it even more tenuous for NFL teams looking to draft him. So it's kind of tricky right now. It's a fluid situation based on, you know, his ability and desire to play baseball, and then, you know, him falling a little bit short of the physical attributes, size traits that you look for in quarterbacks.
Lance, let me ask you about the Heisman. So you were saying that Kyler Murray will come second to, obviously, who would be Tua Tagovailoa. What about Dwayne Haskins? I love him. He's been the whole reason Ohio State's in it. When their defense has not shown up for the first 11 games or whatever it's been, he kept them in it. And I looked at his numbers compared to Tua's, as you know, before this past weekend, and they're really superior numbers. And Tua doesn't even play the whole game. So is there any chance for Dwayne Haskins really to get consideration, or is it just such a done deal because Tua is that dynamic and he plays for Alabama?
Well, I mean, consideration, yeah. I think there's consideration, not to win it.
Okay, that's what I should have
asked.
There's
no consideration of him winning it for me.
Okay.
But he has had a huge year, a great year throwing the football. The statistics will back it up.
Wow, yes. He's
an impressive pocket quarterback. And I think as a redshirt sophomore, I may have to crank up my study of Haskins, because he'll be eligible to come out in the NFL draft. Whether he does or not, we'll have to see. But, you know, this doesn't look like a great quarterback year, and you know, I'm just not 100% sure that Haskins is going to opt to. We saw what happened with Jarrett Stidham when he didn't come out last year, and, you know, I think his stock may have dropped this year from Auburn. So, I think Haskins is going to make it to Manhattan. I just don't think he's, and I think he should. I think he should be in strong consideration based on the numbers. It hasn't been as impactful as you'd like to see on the surface for Ohio State. But then again, we just got done talking about how they could be one of the final four teams playing for a national championship. So, you know, you don't do that unless Haskins has a big season this year.
We're talking to Lance Zierlein, writer for NFL.com and show host on ESPN 97.5 in Houston. Okay, the Texans, assuming the Texans take care of business over the Titans tonight, then they face the Colts, and Andrew Luck is looking like a rejuvenated guy. How viable are the Colts now under Luck's career and leadership really being back intact?
Extremely viable. And I wasn't sure we would see this version of Andrew Luck ever again, but here he is. And it's really a great comeback story. I've got a friendship with the Colts general manager, Chris Ballard, who grew up here in Texas City. So, you know, as being someone who has watched the Texans get whipped by the Colts quite a bit over the years, you know, it's kind of, I don't want to say it pains me to say that, but it's strange to have this newfound respect for the Indianapolis Colts based on, you know, my friend being over there who's a general manager, but also Andrew Luck, a local boy who, I think it's a great story what he's been able to do to make it all the way back. It's been a long, hard road, but they've done a good job of rebuilding on the fly, and I think it is a rather dangerous team coming into Houston. They're very explosive offensively. They've got some really good rookie talent that they drafted this year, and they're playing good football. And that in that game where they lost to the Texans because they decided to go for it rather than punt and basically earn a tie, you know, I think what's interesting is that decision, some would say it harmed them because it cost them a tie, But they wanted to set the tone for what they look forward to for the rest of the year, which is, and forever, is being a more impactful, winning, win-first organization. And that's been the case since that time. 5-1 since that time. Red hot coming into Houston.
Great stuff. That's Lance Zierlein. Lance, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
The holidays are quickly approaching. Don't wait until the last minute to get a gift. Head over to giftingmap.com today. Giftingmap.com. This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, a big Monday night game underway. It's halftime, and we've got Jake Aspen on the ground. Jake, how's the game unfolding for you?
Well, David, the Texans have scored 24 unanswered points after trailing 10-0 earlier in this one. The latest, a Deshaun Watson drive that put the team in field goal range at the end of the half, and Kyby Fairbairn able to knock down a 43-yard field goal to send it to the half, where the Texans have a 24-10 lead. It's been an offensive explosion for the Texans since the slow start. They trailed 10-0, as I mentioned. Tennessee scored a field goal on their opening drive, followed that up with a Jonnu Smith 61-yard reception touchdown. But then it's been all Texans from that point on. The biggest plays of the game, a Demaryius Thomas reception touchdown, his first as a Texan to start things off. And Lamar Miller had a 97-yard rushing touchdown for the Texans' third score of the game. Deshaun Watson also has a rushing touchdown in this one. So the Texans offensively have been able to move the ball at will in this one. And you look what they've been able to do defensively. Early in the second quarter, they were able to get a huge stop on a 4th-and-1 from the 1-yard line, changed the whole complexion of the game. A couple plays later, Lamar Miller, 97-yard rushing touchdown. So it's been all Texans here in the first half as they lead 24-10 entering the locker room.
That's Jake Aspen, our man on the ground. Yeah, it was comical earlier this show when Lamar Miller broke away for that 97-yard run. Carla screamed out in delight. I'm glad you were quick with the button there to shut her down, Jose. We got a text in from a woman named Camille who says that her friend Carla was a little raucous with her joy for the Texans and Lamar Miller.
I can't help myself.
Yeah, good thing I turned her off before she.
It got too crazy.
Yeah, it might have gotten too crazy.
Yeah, no, don't tell all the secrets, boys. What happens in the studio stays in the studio.
Duly noted. All right, this is our famous He Said, She Said segment. This is the moment we look at what sports luminaries have said across the globe. We offer our own commentary, and we're going to go back to last Thanksgiving. The Cowboys with a big win in the NFC East over the Redskins, and DJ Swearinger was one of those vocal players this week. We've been talking about him all day. The guys who just have a lot to say when they're not happy. This is what DJ Swearinger said after the Redskins fell to the Cowboys.
Frustrating as hell, man. We lose 2 games in a row because of the defense. Ain't no damn offense, man. Defense. We lost the game. We lost the game on defense. Two weeks in a row. Defense. If you want to be a championship defense, you got to hold that weight on your back. That's the weight you got to hold if you want to be a championship defense. If you want to be a regular defense, then it don't mean much to you. But until you have that championship mentality as a defender, it'll happen like that week in, week out when you play good teams. You know, we can go out there and, you know, do whatever on teams that ain't good. Like I said against Tampa, we can do whatever we want to go on teams that ain't good. But when you got teams that, you know, that can play with you, you gotta prepare. You got to tackle. You got to do the simple things right. If you don't do the simple things right, you're going to get embarrassed on national TV. That's why we don't get respect as the Redskins. We don't do the simple shit right, you know. We do the simple shit right, I guarantee you we get respect. So we don't need no damn respect. I see why we get disrespected, you know, because we don't win the big game. We got to win the big game. Only way you win the big game is you prepare for the big game, and that's every day.
Amen.
Well,
DJ's swearing it, that's for sure.
He is letting it ride.
I don't blame him, though. You know, what he said.
Whoa. Nicely done.
Jose liked my DJ swearing
it. DJ is swearing it.
And he was swearing it, and he was right to swear it. I mean, defense wins championships.
Yes.
Seriously, yes, we love seeing a lot of offense. But he said exactly right. It's preparing. It's doing the simple things right. I mean.
No, he didn't say simple things. He said you got to do the simple.
Simple. Bleep.
Right.
Well, I would say the same thing if my defense had lost it for me 2 weeks in a row.
Just keep that beeper ready for her, Jose, because she might lose it any minute.
If I see another Lamar 97-yard run, you're going to hear
some more. My favorite thing out of all of that was he just name drops Tampa. Like, Tampa's just minding their business. And he's like, "When we don't play teams like Tampa every week." I thought that was great.
Yeah, poor
and Tampa. Isn't he right about that,
too? He's definitely right, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's kind of funny.
All right, let's go.
Not if you're Tampa.
Let's go from a guy who was on the losing end, DJ Swearinger, to somebody who won but maybe didn't handle victory so well. Baker Mayfield had a great day yesterday, 4 touchdown passes, Browns with a win over the Bengals. And after the game, he had sort of an awkward encounter with his former coach, and he had a lot to say about Hugh Jackson after the game.
He said, good job, good game. Yeah, it was brief. I didn't feel like talking.
You or him?
Me.
Why not?
I don't know. Left Cleveland, goes down to Cincinnati. I don't know. It's just somebody that was in our locker room asking for us to play for him and then goes to a different team. We play twice a year. Everybody can have their spin on it, but that's how I feel. It's just like any rivalry game. That's just how it is now. That's how I'm going to treat it every time we play him, but it's nothing, you know, there's no hate. That's just how it is. That's how I'm going to treat it, and I think that's how our team should treat it too. And what it comes down to is we still have the same players. Yeah, that's what I said when everything was happening. We just had to play better. You know what? You can put your own spin on it, but we have the same players. Yeah, we have people that we believe in calling the plays now.
Save the drama for your mama, Baker. Okay, first of all, let's just be clear here. Hugh Jackson didn't leave and go down the street. Hugh Jackson was booted out of the building, fired. His bleep was fired, and he got offered a job by the Bengals. And you know what? He used to coach for the Bengals, so that makes a lot of sense. They like him. They love him. He spent a lot of years with Cincinnati. And I just, whatever. He asked us to play for him, and then he leaves, walks out the door and goes down the street because he was offered a job. And when you bring a 3-36-1 record on your resume, if you're offered a job, you better grab at it because you got the luck of the Irish right there.
All right, but the one thing you did say on the way out the door is now we have the right guys calling the plays for us. And Baker Mayfield's quarterback rating in the last 3 games, post Hugh Jackson, 129. So there's something going on with this new offensive system.
And he's right about that. They do have the right guys now. Freddie Kitchens calling the plays for him. Hugh Jackson was not calling the plays for him because if you remember, Todd Haley was the OC.
Right.
And when Hugh Jackson got so frustrated and said publicly, I'm going to need to start taking over the play calling duties, he and Todd Haley were fired the next day. So Baker cannot blame it on Hugh Jackson, his own progress. Freddie Kitchens wasn't the guy calling it then. So credit Freddie. Baker's right about that. Baker needs to chill out and realize he needs to be celebrating his success in the Hugh Jackson-less era of the Browns instead of fussing at him.
All right.
Good gosh.
Let's stay on the subject of the Browns. Ian Rappaport.
You just like to see me get fired up? That's what you like?
I love to fire up. Are you with me on this, Jose?
Oh, yeah. I like seeing Carla get riled up.
I had caffeine today. What in the world?
Well, we're on the Browns. Ian Rappaport spoke with former head coach Bruce Arians. Remember, he was with the Cardinals.
Love Bruce Arians.
And Ian explains that Bruce would come out of retirement for only one job, which is the Browns.
Bruce Arians has his way. His retirement would be an extremely short one. I actually talked to him over the phone this week, and he said he would come out of retirement to take a head coaching job, but only the Cleveland Browns. He is not a candidate for any other job, but the Browns job is one that he does, in fact, sound like he wants. And a couple important things here. First of all, he assured me he is serious. His wife is on board, and she's someone who has essentially encouraged him to retire. That is not going to be the case this time. I asked him why just the Browns. Is it the talent base? He said it's actually the fan base. When he got back there this year to call a game, he got that special feeling, and it was something that he wanted to do. He also went a step further and told me he would keep offensive coordinator Freddie Kitchens, would consider keeping defensive coordinator Greg Williams as well. Keep an eye on this one, Mike.
Well, do you think Bruce Arians might be the right guy for the job for the Browns?
I do. Mm-hmm. I love Bruce Arians. Yeah. He is an outside-the-box thinker. He sees things differently, and he loves a challenge. He's like a mad scientist. I really like him. He's a solid guy, and he will love Baker Mayfield's fire.
Well, one of the interesting things is that he said part of his motivation to go to the Browns was he loves the fans there. But he's got to like some of the young players there. He has a lot on which he can build.
And he's got a fantastic defense to build around, too.
Yeah,
yeah. I love that fit. And you know what? The Browns would be lucky to grab that guy.
Well, and the other notable thing is he said he might keep those coordinators. Greg Williams, I don't think anybody thinks of as a good head coaching candidate. But as a defensive coordinator, he's made a mark in this league. He might be worth keeping in that role.
He made a mark in the league with Bounty Gate.
Well, there was Bounty Gate before that. But he's had some seasons of success as a defensive coordinator.
He has.
And then Freddie Kitchens is making a mark now with Baker Mayfield.
Wow. I love it. Yeah, I wouldn't do a whole lot of moving in that area at all.
So John Dorsey, who made the mistake keeping Hugh Jackson into the season, maybe we'll get it right this time with Bruce Arians. Very interesting to watch. And notable that Arians is now signaling he wants to go to the Browns. That's a turn of events because it used to be that nobody wanted to go to the Browns. It was sort of the last coaching job anyone would take.
Coaches go to die and quarterbacks go to die.
Yes.
And obviously that's changed, turning around. So credit that. That's great.
All right. One quarterback who is, resurrected from the injury list, Andrew Luck, is off to a great season. He's doing really well. His offensive line's protecting him. He's lighting the ball up. I view him as now entering that Aaron Rodgers territory.
It's a perfect example. Both of them don't have a lot of personnel to support them.
I think I saw a stat that was he's gone through 8 straight games of throwing 3 or more touchdowns, I believe was a stat.
Amazing.
Wow.
He is on fire again. He's the Andrew Luck of old or better.
He's being rewarded for the patience with that injury.
Well,
and people, really fussing, really trying to rush him back, and he was steadfast about it.
So yesterday I almost had a heart attack because I thought he was going to
re-injure
that
shoulder.
So there was a wildcat play. He caught a pass and got clobbered. Let's listen to what happened.
The pass out here to Luck, and he caught it. We were joking with Andrew Luck about that very thing, him being a receiver.
I wouldn't joke about that.
Well, he got clobbered, and he landed on the shoulder, and he just doesn't need to take those hits. The risk-reward of that play doesn't pan out.
No, that's absolutely
right.
You're
risking your franchise quarterback the reward. What were we really going to get out of that? I mean, Andrew Luck might have been able to run for 8 to 10 yards if he hadn't been hit right when he caught it.
But it was a tight game against a pretty bad Miami team. 27-24, so it worked for them.
So after the game and the post-game conference, Andrew Luck had this to say about his role as a receiver.
First of all, you're right, but you said you were retiring as a receiver.
I thought I was. Now I am.
The way the play was drawn up.
No, that was the way the play was drawn up, to be honest.
Jacoby said you're going to run there.
Yeah, but the way the blitzer came gave it an option to throw it. So he did a great job. It's hard to handle a hot snap when you've been sitting on the sideline and make the right read and get the ball out. So he did a good job.
I like that term, hot snap. I didn't know that.
Well, there wasn't much time. There was a blitz on. I mean, it was good defense by the Dolphins. But I think Frank Reich's going to have to look in the mirror and pull that play out of the playbook altogether. You do not need to pass the ball to Andrew Luck. And, of course, he went up high to catch it, which exposed him all the more.
Oh, absolutely. If he's not as big and strong as he is, that could have been a devastating tackle.
Yeah. Well, that will conclude our He Said, She Said segment. And when we come back, we will, it's my favorite part of the show. We'll get to take a look at what we've learned from Carla during the course of the last 2 hours here on the Boss and the Gloss of SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, a big night in Houston. Texans now leading the Titans 24-10 with 12:55 remaining in the third quarter. Texans with the ball at midfield, 3rd and 7. So Texans in a good spot now with 24 unanswered points.
Pretty nice, but it's a long game.
All right, let me go down the things I learned from you during the course of this show.
Notice, I do notice that you picked the shortest segment of our 2 hours, but that's okay.
That's all right.
Will I realize that's all I can fill with my knowledge.
I will move along quickly then. All right, look, you have said among the final teams in college football, Notre Dame might be the pretender, not the contender, for the national championship.
Yes, I can't get over 2012. And I just they've just manipulated their little schedule so there's no conference championship. And they struggled. USC beat themselves, but could have beat the Irish. They're out if that happens.
I learned that among these three guys, OBJ, Greg Olson, DJ Swearinger, all very vocal people in light of defeat this past week. Very, very vocal. You think there's grains of truth in what they had to say. You just don't like the way they say it and their vocal nature.
I do think they did all speak the truth.
Yep.
But just because it's true doesn't mean you should say it. I don't think there was validity for any of them to take it to a public forum in the media. That's locker room talk, and that's going to your coach.
Okay. You're going to stand by Dwayne Haskins as your Heisman pick.
Yes, I am.
You picked him long ago, and he was outstanding against Michigan.
He was outstanding. 5 touchdown passes against supposedly the number one ranked defense in college football. Ay, ay, ay. And set a Big Ten scoring record. So I love the guy. I just love him. And he's steely nerved. He's got that Sam Darnold sort of unflappability. So he's great. But, you know, our expert Lance Zierlein says it's not happening. It's Tua's to have.
It's Tua's.
Tua's to lose, yeah.
My last one. If you were old enough to have daughters, if you had daughters, you would not let them date Baker Mayfield. If I learned that tonight.
Yes.
I'm correct on this.
You're correct on it.
Okay, fair enough. You've been listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Coming up next is Alex Gold of the Gold Standard. You'll be sure to want to hear him. Alex Gold coming up next on SB Nation Radio.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep their trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.